Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, it's an understatement to call Mary's pregnancy unusual. Dr. Luke would have surely made mention of any physical problems. Mary, after all, lived in a time when there were no hospitals, nobody to help, except perhaps other women. And it was not uncommon for a mother to die in childbirth. It was sort of expected for a woman to be willing to give up her life for the life she carried. These things were normal. However, this pregnancy was not what you would look for. The gossips in Mary's time were running around telling everybody who would listen that Mary was going to have a child out of wedlock. Even her betrothed husband, Joseph, believed what they said. He believed the gossips. He knew he had never slept with Mary. And he had decided to put Mary out of the way, in a secret sort of way, so as not to embarrass Mary. But he was going to dissolve the engagement, because that's what a betrothal was. It's kind of a long engagement. Because he knew he couldn't be the father. And he couldn't put up with the idea that Mary had been unfaithful to the vows they had both taken. He just couldn't get over that. And so he determined to dissolve privately that engagement. But then, we shouldn't be too hard on Joseph, because he didn't buy into the fact that Mary told him that she had been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I mean, first of all, nothing had ever been done like that before or since. You couldn't kind of say, Joseph, you're a bad guy. Because we can understand that there is a kind of betrayal that's taking place in that relationship, and he doesn't understand everything. And so an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, and he tells him in a dream, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the thing that is within her, the life that is within her, is from the Holy Spirit of God. No wonder Mary pondered these things in her heart. How many times has Sandra told me something that I found hard to accept? Many times. Most of the women here can understand that. You're telling the truth, that the guys are just too much of a baby, too much of a stupid person to understand what they're saying. I heard you say amen. But the fact is that Mary was having troubles, and she was pondering her troubles in her heart. She was carrying a baby, and she was aware that the gossips were saying all kinds of things about her and destroying her reputation. She understood that she was also carrying a growing within her of trust and faith in God. because he had told her in so many ways that this was going to happen. How many times have you been told that something's going to happen? I know Paul preached this morning on the things that God takes care of that we don't seem to even notice. You know, when we were driving back from Houston, I drove because Sandra had driven down there. I drove back. And I felt the car pulling a little bit to the left, but I didn't pay any attention to it. I stopped, put air in the tires. But as we were driving at 70 miles an hour down 75, up 75, the tire blew out on the left front tire at 70 miles an hour in heavy traffic. Now, it could have been that we were taken into the wall. It could have been that we had, which cause of that, were turned into the oncoming traffic, and there were 18-wheelers honking at us as they went by, and Sandra screaming. It was terrible. But God was looking out after us and allowed us to get through the various layers of traffic. Even though I thought I was ruining the rim, I didn't ruin the rim. We pulled into Papa Doe's restaurant down here, and a guy looked at me and said, "There's an older man. He needs help." He was right. It was an angel unawares to me. He came up and he said, "I saw you move into the parking lot and your wheel's gone." He said, "Do you need some help?" I nodded and said, "Yes, I guess I do." He took the tire off. He said, "You couldn't have done this by yourself." My ego just shrank down. Said, "Maybe you could have stood on the jack and that would have helped, you know." He took the tire off, put the donut back on the little tire that we had in the trunk. And he even had a air compressor that he had me push into my cigarette lighter thing, which I've never used, put in there. And he was able to pump up the donut. And then he said, "Well, that's it. He threw the stuff in the back of the trunk and said goodbye. God is looking after us all the time. Mary knew that God was looking after her all the time. It didn't matter what the gossip says. It didn't matter. What mattered was her knowledge that God was with her, that he would never leave her or forsake her. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that your will is done in our life. We thank you that we're able to grow older and frailer, and that we fail to come sometimes even to your worship service because we're feeling that we shouldn't, because the weather conditions are bad. But Father, I am reminded that you are there for us. No matter what, you're there for us. And you're there to tell us to stay home. You're there to tell us to come. You are the one voice we should listen to. Yours is the voice that is far greater than any other voice on earth. Your voice penetrates our hearts. And Father, we ask that you do that today, that you penetrate our hearts, that you pierce us to the very quick, to our very core, so that we can know that you are with us in the small things and the large things, that you are with us all the time. Father, forgive me for ever having doubted you. Forgive me for taking things that you give that are precious in stride, not being thankful for them. Father, make us all thankful for the things that you do. Every good and perfect thing that comes into our life, may we give you thanks for today. And Father, if there's anything you would say that is not what I would say, will you cast my words out? Will you throw out everything that I have studied and learned and in preparation for this sermon? May this be your message of love. May you speak to us today in the language that each of us understands. May you be honored today. For we ask these things, believing, trusting, and knowing your heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Going to read Luke. I'm going to read from the first chapter of Luke. The Song of Mary says in my Bible, 46 through 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his manservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. When Mary pondered all that God was doing in her life, she realized that God was confirming her faith. She came to trust him with a heart full of faith. Her faith had been confirmed through the Old Testament prophecies, which she had heard every time she had gone to the synagogue. She had heard the prophecies that the Messiah was coming, that all of Israel was looking forward to his coming. She had heard that for every year that she had been alive, and the people had looked for hundreds of years for the coming of the Messiah. The Gospel of Matthew, for instance, declared that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah 7:14 said that a virgin will conceive and bear a child, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mary believed that that prophecy was coming true through her. She realized that her faith was also confirmed through the appearance of an angel who assured her that the child she would carry was the Holy Spirit's child. She knew that what she carried was the divine spark of God. Joseph, who had been shaken to his core when he knew he couldn't be the father, but God confirmed in a dream that he didn't need to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because Joseph believed God, he called off his plan to divorce her. And through it all, Mary kept her faith centered in God. Mary trusted God, even when the ugly rumors came about her. She trusted God. She had a song in her heart, a song that praised God. Praise always follows genuine faith. and Mary's song that God had put in her heart is one of the most beautiful hymns ever sung. Mary's song is beautiful because of its style. Yes, I said because of its style. Maybe you can't even believe that a teenager, an ignorant girl, could have written such a beautiful song. But she did. She wrote one of the greatest songs that have ever been written. Mary's song is beautiful because of its content. She begins by praising God for who He is and her overwhelming joy at what He has done for her. She contrasts her present humble circumstances with the honor that she will have. She says, all generations shall call me blessed, shall call me happy. She sings. She does not point a finger at herself and say, because I'm going to be the mother of God's child. She says, no. She puts the emphasis on God, not on herself. She praises God for His mercy, for choosing the humble over the proud, for keeping His promises to Abraham and his descendants across the centuries. Abraham had been too old to father a child, and his wife, Sarah, was barren. But God told them that all things were possible, and He allowed them to bear a child named Isaac. Isaac and their descendants would bless God's people through every generation that followed. God had a timetable that included another display of God's power, which was the birth of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He came to earth in the womb of a virgin. God gave Mary a song, gave her a son, and gave us a Savior. No wonder Mary praised God with this magnificent song. No wonder Mary pondered all these things in her heart that led to a faith that was strong. Strong enough and deep enough to deal with the problems that she would have concerning the child. She had a song of joy, praise, of salvation in her heart. So how does this affect us? How on this cold day in Plano, Texas, does this affect you and me? Well, first of all, it's good to remember that God doesn't allow us to be tempted more than we can handle. God loves us. God wants us to become more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. When people are quick to attack you, when they kick you when you're down, when people consider you of no worth, when you don't have the right color skin, or you don't look right, you don't sound right, you're language isn't our language. The way you worship isn't the way we worship. The way you are doing things doesn't please us in any way, shape, or form. You're incapable of being a human being. You offend me. You're worthless. You're not welcome here. You're a bigot. You're a racist, etc., etc., etc. You remember that Jesus said this from the cross. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. You remember that Jesus told you to turn the other cheek, to be good to those who scorn you, to pray for those who harm you. You're a part of God's family. You're a chosen part. You are of the divine spark of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is within you than he who is within the world. You know that your Father has all the cattle on 1,000 hills. You don't have to worry about anything because Jesus has promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. You know these things. Mary had to ponder these things. You know that what you carry within you is of great worth. Of great worth to the world, that God has a plan and a purpose for each of you, for each of yours. He has a plan and a purpose and a direction to guide and direct you to that perfect plan. You're special. God doesn't make trash. He made you. You are the height of God's creation. He said he made us in his own image. Now and forevermore, you should know that God loves you. He cares for you. The least of these, my brother, he cares for us. You know, when I got out of the car, I immediately thought, well, I must really look old because this guy is walking across the parking lot trying to help me. I didn't look old. I looked with expectation at the man who God had sent to come across that parking lot and help me. That is how we should welcome one another, in the anticipation that we are all here to meet one another's needs, to love one another as God loved us.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at WillowCreekFellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at WillowCreekFellowship.org. God bless you.